Please stand and place your hand over your heart. The flag is at the rear of the room. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to begin the meeting with the report out of closed session.
Yes, President Baltimore, board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at 6 p.m. tonight in regards to two separate items. First, under pending litigation under Government Code Section 54956.9A, there was a report from legal counsel in regards to the groundwater adjudication and bankruptcy, but took no reportable action. Second, they went into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 to discuss real property negotiations regarding 2122 9th Street, Suite 102, Los Osos, California. The board gave directions to their real property negotiator but took no other reportable action. And that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is a presentation. It's a presentation in memory of District Legal Counsel John Seitz. And what's going to happen is that we'll have a short little PowerPoint, and then Director Olhilsky, having been the person to work the longest and most closely with John, will take over the presentation from there. And I just want to say it was a... my time with him was very short, but he was just a man of integrity. That's all I can say. If you have the presentation, that'd be great.
It's a little slideshow.
Okay, slideshow. Yep.
The one I picked out, I like the best. Yeah. I like both of them with the glasses. Okay.
It's just a loop.
Okay.
Hello. Marshall Olhilsky, obviously most everybody here should know me. I was just looking at the slideshow there, and I was thinking John was probably responding to some of my questions because he always had that look on his face every time we asked a question. What I'd like to do is I'd like to acknowledge some of the people that we have here because more than our district is here tonight, and then I'll talk a little bit about my experience with John. But first of all, I'd like to acknowledge Kathy Richardson, the general manager from Avila Beach Community Service District. And then from the Pomo Service Community Service District, we have Craig Armstrong. Is he here? No. Craig. We have Jim Harrison. Nope. I'm sorry. I should have checked. Michael LeBron's here. Thank you. Who else do we have, Michael? Is that it? Ed Eby. And I think that, Michael, if you wanted to come up and say a few words, that'd be appropriate time. Thank you.
Thank you, Marshall, and thanks to your board and staff and members of the audience. I appreciate the opportunity to recognize John and tonight. I've been working in this area my professional career in this area has been well over 20 years, and it was just all too short, four and a half years I worked with John, and I guess In that short time, he became the most important professional mentor to me in that entire career. And I've worked with a number of great people for longer, but John just did so much for me, and some things I never realized, of course, until this last year in his absence. But he played such a great role in mentoring me when I first came on as a general manager at Napomo. And then when I came back the next time, and he was there for me and gave me that steady hand and said, you know, you're good at this, stick with it. And I'm just glad I listened to John as often as I did. So thanks again, and we miss him.
Thank you.
So, and we also have Merle Cliff here from the Cambria CSD. And then from the Templeton Community Service District, Judy Deitch and Lori Ann. And, yes, somebody, Judith's going to come up, and she has something for Roseanne.
Thank you for this opportunity, Roseanne and board. I first worked with John 13 years ago when I started on my board, and we always talked trash. That was our thing. But we've remained friends and always had fond feelings for him from not only me, but my entire staff at the district. And he was well remembered as the big kahuna in our district, and we miss him. So thank you. And we have a letter for you from the district.
She needs to come sit in the front.
Thank you.
Well, we also have a couple other people I'd like to introduce. John Wallace from Wallace Group, that I thought, John, you wanted to say something to? I've never heard you speak briefly, John, so we'll see.
Well, as the older I get, the more I slow down. So, members of the board, I just wanted to come to acknowledge all of John's great work over the years. I worked with John for over 25 years, 30 years maybe, who's counting? But it was always a good, solid piece of advice that he would give you, no matter how controversial and how politic the situation was. He would always kind of cut through that and say, here's the bottom line, and here's the options, and so forth. So, like Michael LeBrun was saying, he was a good mentor from the legal side as well as from the personal side as to how to handle a situation. And I really appreciated that. And I worked with him over 3-4 different districts, so where he was district counsel. And then for the last, I don't know how many years, 10 years or so, he was legal counsel to the Special Districts Association of all the counties of special districts. And we really benefited from his advice and his help on that. And he always donated his services for that. So just want to acknowledge him and thank the board for the opportunity to say that. And like we've all said, we miss him. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Then we have our district engineer, Rob Miller.
Thank you, members of the board. Just wanted to honor John tonight because we sat over there in those seats for hours and hours on end. And as a young engineer, I'm still young, but as a younger engineer, John was so critical in those meetings where things were so contentious, and he would lean over and whisper something and calm me down and keep me on the straight and narrow, and he did it again and again. Another thing I clearly remember is whenever an issue would come up and it would be controversial and I was going the wrong direction, I'd get that personal call from John at the office. Just Rob, I just got to say, you know, a little piece of advice for you. And he would, it would always be right on. And he was looking out for me. It had nothing to do with him. He just wanted to make sure that I had the benefit of his wisdom. And I sorely miss him. Still hear his voice in my head. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Okay, now it's my opportunity. I just want to say a few words because I've worked with John for a long, long time, I think, and everything that's been said is really just rings true to me. I think John, I learned a lot from John, but I think John was always the voice of reason. I mean, no matter what kind of situation we were in, he kept everybody on task. I mean, that's because when you were in a confrontational situation or a really stressful situation, John would just come through in his deep voice, which you did a good imitation of, Rob, I have to say that. But he would just come through and it'd just bring everybody back to reality. And just, you know, John was always looking out, you know, for the best for everybody. And as Rob mentioned, it wasn't just what was best for John, it was what was best for everybody. And in working with John, you know, I worked with him. My first situation was in the groundwater litigation in Napomo. And I got to see John firsthand, being on the other side of the table from him, which was interesting. Then, obviously, when I got on the board, I was working with him together. And I would just have to say, from our board's perspective, and that, quite frankly, we would have never gotten through the bankruptcy without John. John represented us very, very well at all of our legal proceedings and at the mediations that we had up in Oakland. John was very, very much a key player. And I think, again, it goes back to the thing that John was recognized by all the parties to that bankruptcy as the voice of reason. So if John had, I mean, he just didn't talk to hear himself talk. When he talked, he had something to say, and people respected that. So I really respect John's work with our district as far as the bankruptcy, because we just never would have got where we were without his guidance and assistance. And then, lastly, I just want to talk about a little bit about the Special Districts Association. I'm the president of the Special Districts Association, and it was alluded to by John Wallace previously. John worked with us on the Special Districts Association. He came to all our meetings, provided legal counsel. Now, you may wonder, what does a Special Districts Association need legal counsel for? But what he was able to do was, when there was issues that were pending between the special districts and the county, John was always able to give us the advice and the direction. And again, it was free, but he would work with both the special districts and the county to address issues and work with everybody. In addition to that, every year we put on, actually up in Templeton, we put on a introductory session on the Brown Act every year at the beginning of the year for the new board members and for the continuing board members. John volunteered an entire day for that, and, you know, it wasn't something he had to do, but he just did it as a feeling of public service to help our special district. So I think, you know, I learned a lot from John, and I know he's very, very missed. So I do have a certificate that we have from the California Special Districts Association chapter that I'll give to Roseanne. And then, Kathy, I'm going to turn it over to our general manager for the last person to speak. And I skipped over the times that we spent with John on a social basis, so we'll just leave that go.
Kathy Kivley, General Manager. It is my pleasure and great pride on behalf of the board to present this to you, Roseanne. It reads, 10 years of service, John S. Seitz, in recognition of the outstanding work contributed to the success of the district and presented this evening.
So with that, then, I'd like to have Roseanne have an opportunity to say a few words. And Michael, do you want to say a few words? We've covered everything for her. Okay, we'll turn it over to you.
Well, first thing I have to say is, so this is where he spent all that time. I haven't been in this particular room. I want you to know that John would have been very proud and appreciative of this. And he would have something humorous to say. He valued the friendships that he developed over the years with the Los Osos Community Service District and with the other community service districts. Working through very difficult issues and serious concerns, Many times he got in hot water with me because he would come here to the meetings and they would go till 4 and 5 in the morning, 3, 4. And he was always adverse to getting a cell phone. And so I would not know what if he'd gone off the road somewhere or whatever. But he finally did get a cell phone, and he finally did learn how to use it. Our family's proud of his devotion to doing a good job for the community service districts that he served. And thank you very much for this.
All right. Thank you.
Beautiful.
I failed to recognize Lonnie Lepore, so I'll do that now.
You want everyone?
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what, we can take a picture of just us and that one, y'all.
I'd just like to thank everybody for coming out, and I really appreciate your attendance, and I know Roseanne does too, so thank everybody.
Yes, and now we're going to take a short 5-minute break.
Short 5-minute break? It's either a short break or a 5-minute break.
So the next item is public comment for items not on the agenda. And so your 3 minutes is starting now. Thank you for the help.
Hello, my name is Al Barrell, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. And today I'm going to be talking about the Friends of Locally Owned Water, losocialsflow.net. As you can see, if you're watching in the public and you'd like to help us, you can contact that website, losocialsflow.net or losocialsflow.com, and get the information you need and volunteer by putting your name in. The second page, the next slide up, shows our service area, which is Golden State and Los Osos CSD are the two major ones. The one in yellow is Golden State. So that's the one that we propose to buy out because the rates, as we saw the next page for the graph, shows the cost differences are so extreme that it's a burden on the ratepayers in Golden State area. The red line is the cost for the Community Services District water supply, and the blue line is the one for Golden State. You can see that after 30 years, you'll be looking at a difference of $18 million, which is quite a lot of money. Right now, the difference is 2-1, 200 for basic rate bimonthly, and 100 for the CSD. So we are a coalition of six communities that are interested in buying out Golden State Water with a bond. We checked on the bond with the banks, and a $10 million bond at 4.5% over 30 years would be about $33 bimonthly. So the difference would be between $100 and $30 bimonthly and $200 would be a savings of $70 for the ratepayers. But the difference in the two lines, if we could go back to the graph, that $18 million would disappear. So we wouldn't have the $18 million difference. Can I see the chart, the graph? Thank you. If you see the chart difference over time, you're spending that much extra money. That's all eliminated, and you're on the red line with the CSD plus your bond payment of $16 a month. So from a standpoint of saving money, it's a benefit. From a standpoint of basin management, the Community Services District gets to make the decisions, and you get to answer to the voters instead of answering to Wall Street investors. And that's a big difference, because now you become motivated by what the community needs to have done. So with that, I'll close and thank you and remind you, www.lososos.net, and you can volunteer. We need to be a whole community. Thank you.
Excuse me. Nope. Al. Do you want to say a little bit more slowly your website?
The website, yeah. www.lososos.net or .flow. .net or .com. If you go to the .com, that's the OHI website, and it shows their history and what they've done. If you go to the .net, it's our new website that was a gift from Foothill Flow.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Barrow said his own website wrong. It's losososflow.net or losososflow.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to take this opportunity to also say something about John Seitz. I served on this board for 4 years with John as a mentor of sorts. John made me a better activist. I had to work really hard to catch him in a glitch. And so if I'm a pain in your backside, you can thank him. The personal side of John was interesting, fun, and things we didn't know about John or we didn't know here. He loved NASCAR. He gave me lug nuts from real NASCARs to give to my kids. And he loved surfing, and he had a tie collection, and he had leather collection, bags, saddlebags, briefcases, that kind of thing. Really interesting thing to collect. Very nice man, and I what struck me the most, I think, was his love and his pride for his wife and her beautiful artwork. So I think that's really a tribute to a really, really nice man. On to Los Osos Matters. This week I attended the Golden State Water meeting. A lot of people did. Unfortunately, they had a difficult time getting their message out. And it occurs to me that we're in this basin together. And you have a forum right here. We've invited the county to present their issues here. I think this is the place for Golden State as well. As we embark on the basin plan and implementation, we need to explain the issues for that customer base as well as our customer base, how their rates go up, how our rates go up, and what these rates are going to pay for. And we also have to explain why a $200 million sewer didn't fix our water problem. And that is something that people are still scratching their head. And why we won't have new development. We won't be able to add a bedroom or a bathroom after the sewer. It's not until the water issues are resolved that our community can grow up, if that's really what we want it to do. But we need to sustain ourselves first. And I think those issues can be ferreted out here. And I think they need a Rob Miller. They need someone who can really explain it. And Rob would actually be willing to do that if we brought that forum here.
All right. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dave Horvat. I'm here on behalf of my wife, Anna, to speak for her. We're having a fundraiser on March 8th here at the Community Center. I have lived in Los Osos for over 30 years. I work for district manager for Accurate First Aid. I was fortunate enough to start the youth football program in this town in 1981, coached for 14 years. Many young men are now grown, obviously, and children. Josh Wright, fine young man, he was one of the best. I realized how special this town was when people came out to help me. Frank Merrill, Ron Ginelli, and even our current sheriff, Ian Parkinson, coached with me for a while. And I realized how special the town was at that time. In the last 23 years, I've been a supervisor for the Mid-State Fair Security and enjoyed that job immensely. God blessed me with my wife, Anna, even at my age, and we were married in 2010. When she was 55, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she went through bouts of chemotherapy, radiation, and we thought we beat it, and we were so happy and praised. Well, in September, an MRI showed that it came to her liver, and it's stage 4. And so it's hard. My wife, I pray every day. I ask God to take care of her, and I'm a little selfish to ask him to please. I still need her. Please, don't take her from me. She's always been the kind of person, like many women, I guess, many people, giving. She gives to everything. She worked at Rosie's and Shell Station for 13, 14 years. Loves this community, helped many people, loves her grandchildren and children. Just a giver, never asks for anything. So this is hard for me and hard for her for me to be up here. She's, she doesn't want, you better not screw this up, Dave. You better not talk too much. The community has been so grateful. I mean, it's hard to ask for help. But when I have, it's just been amazing. The community center alone, all their love, they're letting me have our fundraiser here. Special thanks to the Harbor Hut. They donated all the food. I mean, Kathy at Pacific Coast Mortgage, just an angel to me. And it's just amazing how much good there is in this community. You don't realize it until you ask for your help. And they say, yeah, well, we're there for you. It's hard to talk to people like that because it brings tears to your eyes. I just want to thank you for your time, and if you can possibly come to the fundraiser, we've got some great things to auction off, trips to Mexico and a lot of other things that the community has come through. And I thank you very much, and maybe this will help me save my wife's life. So God bless each of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Can we hang on? Don't take that down yet. Can we zoom in on the words of the fundraiser?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, I just want the video to zoom in on the words.
Should I raise it up?
No. We'll just pause there for a couple seconds. All right. Yeah, so from what I can read, it says it's Saturday, March 8th. Tri-tip barbecue music and silent auction. So, thank you. All right. Next speaker.
Here at the community center.
Oh, thank you.
Richard Margetson. With respect to the last speaker, the Community Center Board is donating the use of the room that day. It was the least we could do. We're also trying to help him in any way we can with the silent auction, setting up the room for him. I'm sure, as any of us have gone through anything like this with a family member, it's a tremendous amount of stress on him. So if you're available or know people that are available to help, contact him or contact us. This is an example of, the use of this community center, which is this community's center. It's unique in this county. This is the only community center that's owned by the community. And this is a perfect example of what it should be used for. I hope it helps him, and I hope it helps his wife. Now, off to a whole different subject. Board of Supervisors, on the 14th of January, brought forth possible revisions to Title 8 and Title 19, the retrofit upon sale ordinance and the retrofit to build ordinance for Los Osos. Again, you guys have experienced this before. When it came to board discussion with staff, staff threw both the CSD and Golden State under the bus again. CSD's bankrupt, has very little ability to do anything about water conservation, and Golden State pretty much doesn't care. They're a for-profit company. Would have been nice to have had some type of response or rebuttal from this district, from this community. It gets old being told repeatedly how wonderful everything they're doing is and how everything you're doing is inconsequential. They had a whole list of the reasons why water consumption in this community has gone down. Not one of them on that list was the tiered rate structure that was put in place years ago. And if you ask our district engineer what he believes the number one reason for the reduction in consumption in this district is, it's the water rates. It's top of his list. It was never mentioned by the county. It was all the wonderful things they were doing for us. I'd like them to come and explain what those things are. And again, they have no problem throwing us under the bus whenever they get an opportunity.
Thank you. I'd like to close public comment and move on to the administrative and committee reports. Our first report is the fire department report. Oh, yeah, now it's time to take the poster down. Sorry.
No worries. Good evening, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, members of the board, members of the public, and those that are at home watching, Chief Fenaris. You have before you the December 2013 as well as the annual 2013 Chief's Report. Before I start, there's two things I'd like to quickly talk about. One is the CERT training that is being done in Morro Bay next month in cooperation with Cayucas Fire Department and Station 15 South Bay. That training is full. We've had a very good response. We will continue to accept names for folks who would like that training, and if there's additional names, we'll put on a second class. There's also a class up in the Cambria area that still has room available if someone wants it in February and wants to drive. The second thing I'd like to talk about is through the efforts of the Los Osos Focus Group, a subgroup of the San Luis Obispo County Fire Safe Council. This week we were notified that we will have a total of 5 chipping days in Los Osos this year. That's an additional 3 days than we had last year. People need to start preparing. I understand it was raining today and it's wet, and hopefully finally we're getting some rain, and it's winter. But hazard abatement season will be coming shortly. We've been doing hazard abatement inspections through the winter because it's been so dry up to last week, and I sent the guys out to do some hazard abatement inspections. So now is the time to be thinking about hazard abatement and chipping. It takes a long time if you've got a lot of brush to bring a crew in, bring a guy or two in, do some chipping to get what you need cut and get it stacked. We will in May, and that will be notified, everyone will be notified of the days. We'll be bringing a chipper around with a short crew of folks to chip the stuff on site, and you can, the owners can have the chips back. It's a huge, huge financial advantage to do this, and we really thank the focus group as well as the County Fire Safe Council for that. Mm-hmm. So now is the time to start your hazard abatement, even though it's raining. So for December 2013 and the annual 2013 report. In the month of December, we ran 113 calls out of your fire station, 67 were medical aids, and 39 required advanced life support, and there was one incident reported as a fire. Company 15 came back a total of 23 times. In the year of 2013, the station responded to a total of 1,250 calls, 49 simultaneous calls, and of those, 31 required advanced life support. Total of 827 medical calls were launched out of the station, 409 of those requiring advanced life support. There were 37 traffic collisions and 60 fires. Company 15 came back a total of 135 times to support the paid staff. 2013, with a total of 1,250 calls, is the second highest year we've had in the last 8 or 9 years. Administrative work, we continue to do the training with the firefighters to get them online, the new firefighters. We conducted our quarterly safety compliance inspections on our engines. There was no outstanding issues after the end of this inspection. We were able to fix it all at that point. Your new engine 15 went back to emergency vehicle group for some routine work. We knew that would go back after the initial engine, after it came out of the factory. It is now back in service and running, as pointed out by the president here this afternoon, and we're still very happy with it. We started our annual company performance training, professional training, at the station in the month of December. We ran through the through Operation Santa Claus in the month of December, and once again, Station 15, with the help of the community and with the help of the community center here, had the most amount of toys given by any of the fire stations in San Luis County. And the staff, Station 15, the Benevolent Association for CAL FIRE in San Luis Obispo County, does thank the community center, this board, and the community of Los Osos for its great continued support. We participated with Dr. Kingston Leon in some hazard abatement and monarch butterfly habitat revitalization in the Monarch Grove area. There is a press release at the end of this staff report detailing that. You may have seen it in the paper. Right now, there's probably about 10 or 12 volunteers working with the doctor. The butterflies should be there for a couple more weeks, and then they'll start to move out. In the month of December, the California Conservation Corps continued to work up at around Cabrillo. I can tell you that that project is for the most part done. There's some minor work that we need to continue doing up there. There is some chipping piles still up there, but you won't hear any more reports on that. There's a couple other events we went to, but that should conclude my verbal report. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you now.
Yes, Dr. Moonhart.
Regarding the third program, do you happen to know how many certified citizens we have in Los Osos now?
I do not know the exact number of trained folks that are in Los Osos now. Mm-hmm. I could get that for you. Well, I know that when the Estero-based cert gets together, it's probably about three-quarters Los Osos residents, probably about 20% Morro Bay residents, and about 5% Cayucas. I hope that adds up to 100. Mm-hmm. And we're running probably 35 people at a time, from 15 to 30, 35 people when we do the training. That's not the trained amount. That's the consistent folks who are out there doing that. We certainly have more numbers than that, and I might be able to discuss that with retired Fire Chief Bob Newman in the back of the room, who may have a better handle on that and come back to you later on in the evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Let me just check my notes here. Yeah, I think I'm going to continue on. Okay. Next report, Utilities Department.
Good evening, President Baltimore, Vice President Wright, Board, staff, and public. My name's Margaret, and I'm here to report on the activities of the Utilities Department for December 2013. As you can see, the production for December was 17.4 million gallons, and that equates to approximately 562,300 gallons average daily demand. And this represents an 18% increase compared to last year. It's been a very dry year. Consumption through December 30th was 23.3 million gallons, and this did cover a 20-day longer period. So the revenue that went with that was $206,188. Consumption through January 10th was 13.1 million gallons and $120,500 in revenue. Now, that represents a 6% increase in consumption and a 15% increase in revenue. Due to the drought emergency declaration, the staff was directed to provide well depth information. So you've got some extra graphs and tables for each of the well sites for 2012 and 2013 information that we have. Crews have resumed the meter replacement program in December, and they worked with contractors at the South Bay well site. And we are implementing the new billing software. As far as drainage is concerned, in December, crews provided basin and vault maintenance, and staff is working on comments to the state regarding a new annual report document to comply with the new MS4 permit. And this concludes my utilities report for December of 2013, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions here. How is the project over on South Bay going? Is the denitrification and...
We had a meeting out there to... There's other contractors out there on that space right now. So, but we did meet with John Madonna and our district engineer. And, yeah, they won't be able to start until April due to snail surveys that we have to do. It's the rainy season right now.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
All right. So it starts in April.
Yeah, that's when they will be able to really be on site and start working.
Okay. On these neat well graphs, I was wondering if you could help me read them a little bit. I know the y-axis there is in feet. What is that measuring? That measuring from the top of the well down to the water, or from the top of the water down to the bottom of the well, or
it measures from a point right at the well head down to the where this is the static water level. So that's when there's been no pumping, and this is after the basin's full. So that measures down to that. That's below the. I had the graphs go up, but it's below the surface.
Okay. All right. These tests then. I'm just kind of curious. What's the accuracy of the test? Like from test to test, is a 5% variation in a test, or
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay, just curious. All right, thank you.
I have one. Last meeting, there was some questions about the billing software. Like a couple items, like the phone number wasn't on, and there was something else. Have those been rectified?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, but if I could just follow up with that, the other question, the second question was putting the historic usage on
the billings, because we had those charts showing year-to-year comparison, and I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I think that that's just something that we have to phase in over time. So, but that was the other question, and I just lay that out there for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next committee report is LOCAC. Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Jen Harper. Thank you, Board, for having us. Our January report, discussion and decision regarding the proposed donation by Scott Black and his partners in California funding of the property at the corner of Pine and Los Osos Valley Road. They want input from LOCAC and members of the public on potential public uses for this property. The points discussed were, after much discussion with Scott Black and his partner Daryl Rowe, we determined that much as we would like to, LOCAC is not in a position to assist with the donation process at this time. It is too soon in the process for us to begin gathering community input on uses for the property. Fortunately, Supervisor Gibson, our planner Carrie Brown, and Director Wright both stayed for the discussion and were able to clarify and amplify the steps that the partners have to go through before LOCAC and the community can make useful contributions to the process. Chairperson Millage wishes to thank Director Wright, especially for contributing to the discussion and for the added information he sent to her later. Thank you. Upcoming events, there will be a town hall meeting February 26th for an update on the wastewater project. Postcards are being sent out with details of the event to all Los Osos residents. The postcard will also have a link to a survey for residents to fill out with their preferences for future development in Los Osos. This information will be used for the update to the community plan. A draft of the update will be available later this year. For the LOCAC February 27th meeting, Tricia Knight, Tech Consulting, is representing Verizon for an application for a cell tower in Baywood Park. They have selected three possible sites and are asking for LOCAC's input on which site would be most suitable for another tower. There will be no traffic and circulation meeting in February. The Bicycle Advisory Council meets next Tuesday, February 11th at 6 p.m. in the SLO County Government Center. Land use meets Thursday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m. at the South Bay Community Center small conference room. LOCAC elections are in May. Openings are in each of the four districts. There's a map on our website. For further information on anything, you can visit our website, locac.info, locac.info. So I'm here. I'm Jan Harper, and I can answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yes. I just have one quick one, Jan. The town hall meeting, is that something that LOCAC is sponsoring, or is that the county?
That's the county.
Okay.
It's an update on the wastewater project. But since we're an arm of the county, we get that data.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to just say, too, that we provided the survey that the community did through the published in the Bear Pride way back, and I have to thank Ann over here for digging through the paperwork and finding it and getting it to you. Also, the link to our website, have you guys gotten together to, because it went down because of the items it was trying to sell, and so the new website is not linked to ours yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's locac.info. I think that was correct.
All right.
Okay, thank
before.
You.
Any directors? All right, very good. Thank you very much. All right, Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
Yes, we're ready to go. The minutes are in your agenda package, but I just wanted to emphasize a couple of the points in here. First of all, in the minutes it says that the committee approved the mission and vision statement. That's not true, because they can only recommend to the board. So the vision statement that they recommend, it will be coming to you next month on the consent agenda. So if anybody has any input about the mission or vision statements, if you could get it back to us. So I'll just read them right now.
The recommendation reads that for the mission statement, since 1949, South Bay Fire has served the community by protecting people, property, and local resources. Now, in cooperation with CAL FIRE since 2004, South Bay Fire Station 15 continues to serve the community with highly trained emergency responders, excellent equipment, and public safety education. And then the recommendation on the vision statement is to promote public trust by meeting the highest standards in preparedness, training, emergency response, and open and honest communication to facilitate positive outcomes for our residents, neighbors, and visitors. So those were the recommendations from the ESAC that will be on our consent item agenda next month. Also, and there was an issue brought up, and this is also on our consent agenda today, but to accept the ownership of a CERT trailer, they recommended that we go ahead and accept that pending resolution of some issues about liability and insurance questions. And it's my understanding from both talking to Mr. Wright and talking to our general manager that those issues have been adequately resolved. So that was moved forward. If we have any questions about that, we have Chief Fenaris is still here. And I didn't recognize former Chief Newman out of uniform, but I think he's also here to answer any questions. So I don't know how you want to handle that, but if anybody has any questions about the CERT trailers, we can either do it now or as part of that consent agenda. But I do have two people here to answer questions about that.
I have a couple of questions, so I think now...
Well, let me finish my report and then...
Yeah, okay.
Is that okay?
No, I want to do it now.
Oh, thank you.
Hey.
There was a I could be done really quick, but now you're going to make me drag it out, you know. We talked a little bit at the minute there about the meeting, and this is again in your minutes, but just about response times relative to the wastewater construction plant. And they're still reduced, but they are better than they were before. And there's the fire department is getting maps and reporting by the construction, at least one of the contractors, on a daily basis. So that's helping on our response times. And then there was just a question about, because of the massive drought up until this week, apparently, just about whether CAL FIRE is adequately prepared or equipped to provide fire services with the higher tinder level. And the chief assured us that we were. And the last item that came up was just the fact that we haven't seen a budget for a few months, and that we wanted to make sure that the budgets were coming forward to the appropriate committees. And Leonard and I, my other party on the Financial Advisory Committee, did meet with General Manager Kivley. And we do understand that we'll be back on a regular cycle starting next month. But the thing that had delayed those was not only Ampey's retirement, but, and this was something that Leonard and I didn't appreciate, was the fact how much time was entailed in actually resolving the bankruptcy and cutting the checks and determining the amounts of money that needed to go to the very creditors in the bankruptcy. So now that that's behind us, we'll be back on our regular reporting cycle. So the committee wanted me to bring that, the not having financial reports, to the attention of the board. So
bring that up. Are you talking to Finance Committee, or are you talking
just any committee?
Yeah, it came up in the ESAC.
Leonard and I, as chairs of the FAC, we did meet with General Manager to discuss that issue. So I just want to know that we did follow up on that. And I brought Leonard in not as the ESAC, but as on the FAC. Okay. So now I'll turn it over to you, and we have two people to answer your CERT questions.
Very simple questions, I'm sure. You talked about people that are authorized to pull the trailer. I was just curious how that process works. How that's determined, and are they then covered by insurance? And that's the liability from that. It had to do with pulling the trailer.
Yes, Mr. President, if I could comment to that. I did have conversation with the SDRMA, and it will be necessary, and I've had the conversation with the chief, that who's ever towing it, if it's a private party, must have insurance, and that must have already been received copies of their insurance that allows them to pull the trailer. So the SDRMA will be requiring that.
Okay, they fill out an application, or did they sign up?
There's just a form where they submit their DMV report and they submit their certificate of insurance.
Okay, then kind
that's
of,
also that's an annual requirement.
Yes, it's an annual requirement, uh-huh. Yes, sir.
And kind of related to my first question, how many people do we have authorized?
Talking with Chief Newman in the back, he estimates about 100 people in the Los Osos area have received training. And mm-hmm. by saying that there's been 100 people who've been trained in Los Osos, now, did they all come from Los Osos or from the surrounding area as well? That's unknown. So that's the answer to your first question. Mm-hmm. The second question is, how many people are we driving and what's the process now? We don't have that out yet. Right now we're in the process of reconstituting the Estero Bay CERT. When someone comes in and says, hey, I want to be a CERT member in the Estero Bay area, they do an application, that's filled out. It's run through they sign a consent that allows us to do a background check. That background check goes through Morro Bay PD to ensure that we're not bringing in folks that we don't want to bring in. They're signed up through Cal Volunteers Insurance, Cal Volunteers program for insurance reasons, and then we have a history of what they're doing on an annual basis by providing their driver's license and insurance, as the general manager just stated. So at some point we will have a variety of people who are approved to drive that and approved tow vehicles, but we don't have that right now.
Okay. All right. Looks like.
Yeah. I might interrupt. We'll follow the program that we do in Cambria, which is a much well-developed service.
Yeah, you can come up.
He's a little shy.
I am. Yeah, you're a little shy. We have quite a developed team in Cambria, and so we'll follow the same program that we do in Cambria, whereby we, as the chief indicated, certify those folks and train them so that we know exactly who's pulling the trailer.
Okay.
So the training is important, Keith.
Yeah. And for those who did not recognize, that is retired San Luis Fire Chief Bob Newman, who is our CERT trainer and has been doing CERT training here in San Luis County as well as in Los Osos area for many, many years.
Excellent.
And also a Los Osos resident.
Yes. Right. Another question and aspect with the trailer, repairs, maintenance. I know it addressed maintenance in here, but you walk out there, you see a flat it's got a flat tire. Who changes that tire, who takes care of all that good stuff?
So with quite a bit of pressure on the San Luis Obispo County Fire Chiefs Association and the Sheriff's Advisory Council, as we develop into these trailers, because now this is really the first advance into trailers across the county. While we have had two trailers in Cambria for quite a number of years, through a combination of the Sheriff's Advisory Council and the Fire Chiefs Association, they've agreed to take those maintenance costs.
Okay. So the cost, but actually then would somebody from Station 15 call them and say, send somebody to repair it, or do...
No, actually, the CERT members themselves, the CERT team, is responsible for the trailer. And they will recognize when there's an issue, and they'll go about addressing it.
Okay.
So our goal is to not impact you at all. In fact, our goal as quickly as we can is to take that whole insurance problem away, too, if we can figure out a way to do that. Maybe I'll go see Mr. Wright. Because we have actually established a 501c3 for the CERT program, sort of independent, or I guess sponsored by the San Luis Obispo mm-hmm. County Fire Chiefs Association and the Sheriff's Advisory Council.
Okay.
So, a developing program, but it's a really positive thing that we're doing.
I'm very supportive of it. It's, yeah.
All right. You just encouraged me to ask a question. So, any more questions?
I think that's it for now. Until you have a question and inspire me to ask another question.
No, I just want to again. We say CERT, but again, it's the Community Emergency Response Team. It's made of community members, and this trailer that they're talking about it's basically the equipment for the community members to do what they've been trained for. With that, Chief Newman, if you could just kind of explain what's in the trailers that the people use, because again, we got a great example that goes up in Cambria, and we're hopefully to duplicate it down here.
Certainly. The trailer is equipped with a variety of first aid equipment, light search and rescue equipment, fire extinguishing equipment, not the typical fire pumps and fire hoses, but just fire extinguishers. So a variety of people to assist the ability to take care of themselves first and their neighbors second. It's what we call the CERT circle. Take care of yourself first, and then if you're comfortable, move out into your neighborhood and help your neighbors in, you know, in a time of disaster.
Right. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope maybe we'll see the trailer out on display in one of our festivals or something. Yeah. That would be good.
Excellent. Thank you again. So that concludes the report. So the next report is the Utility Advisory Committee, and I'll give that report. I'm just going to give a really, really short summary of it because the Utility Advisory Committee had one item on the agenda, and that was the water conservation and emergency water storage regulations. And the committee has been working on it for a time now, and at that meeting our district engineer gave a what I thought was a very good summary of water shortage triggers, meaning what actually can when do we say that we have got to implement certain measures when for water shortage. And a couple of the triggers that were discussed were proactive, like climate triggers, even though physical measurements might not indicate it, just the climate itself is definitely given a direction that things are about to happen. And others were more, I want to say reactive, but actual measurements, water quality triggers. And so that was discussed in detail, just the triggers. And our subcommittee on the regulations will come back and report at the next meeting, next week, Wednesday, about measures to implement. And then hopefully the committee will be able to make a recommendation to the board. That's the report. Any questions? No, he can't ask any. He's on the committee.
No questions.
All right. The next report is the Financial Advisory Committee.
Yeah, the Financial Advisory Committee did not meet, but I think I discussed under the Emergency Services Advisory Committee why we haven't met, and we will be meeting in the future from this point forward. So,
all right. Thank you. I'd like to make a quick announcement that Director Wright, Vice President Wright, will represent the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County. Did I say that right?
Capslow.
Yes.
Capslow. Thank you. Okay. And Director Moodhart is our representative on the RAC.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
thank you.
With that, the last administrative and committee report is any director announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, trainings, conferences, seminars, and such.
I will report on the RAC, although I was not able to attend because I wasn't able to clear my schedule in time when I found out I was going to the RAC. So I apologize for that. But our esteemed Margaret Faulkner did attend the RAC, and there was two items that were worth noting there. One of them is the Paso Robles groundwater basin efforts, and the committee passed a recommendation that the RAC consider developing a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors in support of a legislative platform that is the formation of a Paso Robles water district, which I'm sure many people have heard about. So the RAC will be drafting a recommendation for that in support of it. The second item was having to do with the planning department, and this is important. It's the resource management system that the county planning department is that is part of their function. They have the RAC is being asked to consider forming an ad hoc subcommittee to review the water resources components of the following draft modifications, and that has to do with framework for planning inland and framework for coastal planning. So it's amendments to those chapters. It's important that resource management system, that is the same group that triggers the level of severity. So they're the same group that has determined that Los Osos is in a level of severity 3. So that's the connection there. But anyway, that's my report.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Director Ohilski.
Just a quick encouragement to my board, fellow board members. California Special Districts Association, we have our annual meeting on the 21st of this month. Our guest speaker will be Frank Meacham, Supervisor Meacham, who will be talking about the Paso Robles groundwater basin and the issues and how that's been resolving. So I would encourage you guys to attend if you haven't sent in your registrations yet. Thank you.
All right. Okay, now the next item is public comments, but before I go to that, are there any items on the consent agenda that the directors would like to pull?
I do not have one.
No?
Okay. Well, we had the discussion on the CERT insurance,
yeah.
So I think that's been taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah.
With that, with no items, I'd like to know what items being pulled. Move to public comments for items on the administrative and committee reports and on the consent agenda.
Again, good evening, Al Barrel. First of all, on the fire department report, I'd like to thank the fire department. I came home last week before the first rain, and there was a huge cloud of black smoke coming from the next door property. So I looked over the fence, and there was a bunch of kids burning trash, which was not legal. And they were the fire was so hot that they were leaning against their building. So I called the fire department, and they arrived, and the fire was out, and that worked out really well. So I want to thank the fire department for their services, and sorry that we had to call you. The other thing is the utilities and the finance committee. And I think the utilities committee talked about the amount of water. Margaret talked about what the usage was and so forth and like that. And this relates to the Golden State water buyout, because if you end up managing the Golden State, instead of having two administrative offices, buildings, and people, you'll only have one, which would be here. So that would save some money. So there is an economy of scale by managing the whole district. You would probably have fewer workers per gallon, if you can imagine. Anyway, so I thought the utilities and the finance committee would be interested, because the finance committee would then be able to spread the cost of the administration cost over the whole community, which would be much fairer, I think. Right now, the water users in the district are paying for all of that. Not fair. So that would be a level of playing field for one thing. So you'd reduce your total overall expense of admin, and then you'd have complete control over conservation. And regard conservation, I wanted to say that when I first moved into my rental duplex about 10 years ago, first thing I did was I turned off the sprinkler system. The outdoor use is pretty large, can be very large. So in regard to that, I spoke with Mr. and Mrs. Golden today, and they told me that they had instructed their gardener to shut down the system and lower the amount of water that was being applied to their outdoors. And I thought that was a very smart move. And so I think that's something that other people in the community should start thinking about doing. And if you're a property manager, You should definitely have your gardeners do that. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I'm going to start at the end of what was said and work backwards. Leonard, I'm glad you're on the rack. When you do look at the Paso Robles, the energy and expense that's been spent on Paso Robles, think about Los Osos. Ask for the RAC to look at our basin plan. Look at what we've been through. We actually could teach them a thing or two, but it's very disingenuous how the county's handled our basin over their basin, as if they're any more important than we are. And when you mentioned level severity 3, that's actually the first night I was seated on the board, and John Seitz said, if you want to get the county's attention, you're going to have to request level severity 3. And that was the first action that we did, December 16th, 2004. Don't ask me why I remember some dates. Anyway, then, Marshall, you talked about response times and the continuing problems with the emergency services and response times. On January 28th, the Board of Supervisors, and Kathy was there, extended the contract with HDR. HDR is the construction management firm that really is responsible for the poor traffic management that we've had. And I would have liked to have seen this district step up to that podium and say something about it. And why are we rewarding with millions more dollars a contractor that couldn't do a very good job? Something else. Oh, a little bit more about the wastewater project. The Second Street water break, can we have a little report on that? I understand the contractors are blaming the LOCSD for the break, and I don't quite understand that at all. I saw in the warrants a check to Meathead Movers for moving the C-trains or moving material with the C-trains. Is that reimbursable? I don't believe we would have needed to move the C-trains if not for the pump station. It wasn't part of our project that we had to move those, so I'd like to see us get reimbursed on that, along with a whole lot of other time that our district has spent on the wastewater project. And lastly, while we talk about the basin plan, while we talk about Golden State, I'd like to see that presentation that Rob Miller did back on Channel 20. I think the more people are paying attention to the water, the more they're going to look, what was that all about? They're going to go back and want to see that again. So I'd like to see that back on Channel 20.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. The warrants. We're a bankrupt district, just coming out of it. Just gave up solid waste. Administrative draws are going to have to be adjusted. And $160 was spent to attend the Chamber of Commerce dinner. Ask Phil what $160 would have bought in equipment for the paramedic vehicle. The schedule for how the budget's going to be presented this year, I don't see anything on here about an open community discussion or a finance committee discussion about the administrative draws, the formula, as I read this, unless I'm reading this wrong, finance, it looks like it's only looking at the budget one time. At what point are we going to start receiving a manager's report, an administrative report, anything? There's a report from Phil, there's a report from from Margaret. We don't have an administrative report. The general manager's all over the county at meetings, still attending Board of Supervisors this week for two public commenters from Los Osos. Is that really the best use of staff time? And then with my last minute, I'm surprised if you read the packet, nobody noticed in the utilities report 53% of the service area was billed for 23.3 million gallons for the period of October 10th through December 30th, 80 days. And then that justifies the increase in revenue and the increase in consumption. We have a tiered rate structure. That additional 20 days was billed at a higher tier for all of those customers. Is that appropriate? And I know probably the response is going to be, well, then the next billing cycle will be shorter. But this is the winter billing periods when consumption usually is down. That should be of concern to you. We're not talking a minor increase. We're talking a 33% increase in the number of days that were billed in one billing cycle.
Thank you. All right.
No comments.
Hang on. Any more public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Any comments from the directors?
Just one quick answer about the question about the administrative allocations. That will be addressed in our budget adjustments next month.
All right. Thank you. Director Moodhart.
Yes. I'm sorry. I did actually have a question about the 80 days, and I didn't ask it. I just slipped my mind, and I was just curious why there was an 80-day billing period. I'm sorry.
Hang on.
Yeah.
We're transitioning to new software, and so it was getting the handhelds, which are the automatic meter reading devices the crew takes out in the field to read meters with. We had to get some glitches worked out for transferring it back into the new software. So we weren't able to get out also with the holiday schedules. We weren't able to get out until about the 30th of the month to finish up all the reads to get the billing done. But we did manage to get it done before the end of the year, so it was December. But that's the reason there was an 80-day period this time.
So did people get charged a higher tier rate for that, or just,
well,
as was suggested,
depending on usage? Yeah, they got 80 days worth of billing for the cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's true, it'll be shorter next time, but now we're back, we've got the communications working and the new software running. There's a lot to this software. You do have to understand there's a lot of things that go on there, so but we got it running, and mm-hmm. I really thank Liz for that. So
I'm glad we do have it working. Is there, I mean, it doesn't seem correct to bill them that way.
Director Moodhart, if I could, I'm just going to ask the general manager. She can address this with our utilities manager and report back to you.
That would be good.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, hang on. I'm not going to let you go yet.
while Margaret's there, could we just talk about the Second Street leak and whether that is our liability or their liability, or how is that going to be addressed?
Are you prepared? Can you speak to it?
I'm not prepared for that one.
No, we'll have to get back to you.
All right. Yeah. Then we'll bring that back. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Margaret.
Yep. All right.
It was a big leak. The flood.
So can I get a motion for the consent agenda?
Okay, so I'll try this. I've never been good at this one. But I would move that we accept the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, can I have a vote?
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes. All right. Excuse me. Item 12, general action items. We'll now go to reading of item A from our general manager.
Item A? You mean 12A?
12A. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Before you this evening is the appointment of regular and alternate public members for standing advisory committee standing advisory committees. In accordance with the district bylaws and the rules of decorum, the board will appoint members of the public to the openings of each of the committees, and then by motion appoint committee members and alternates. The list is included of those applications that we received for the various positions. As you will note, we received sufficient applications for the Emergency Services Advisory Committee and sufficient applications for the Utilities Advisory Committee. We did not receive sufficient applications for the Finance Advisory Committee. With that, it is now your choice to go ahead and appoint the members, and if you have any questions, I will be happy to answer them.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So I guess I'll get this started.
Okay.
What I'd like to do for the Finance Advisory Committee is to continue to encourage people to apply and leave that open for now. For the Utilities Advisory Committee, we have three committee members and one alternate member. I would like to see Noah Evans, Aaron Floyd, and Ron Munns as the committee members, and I'd like to see how Lee Harry, what he brings to the committee as the alternate. And so that's kind of where I am. I'm kind of defer to the emergency service chair and vice chair.
Excellent.
Yes, go ahead. Do the motion for the first one.
So I'll go ahead and move on that we approve your whatever.
Utilities Advisory.
UAC.
Excuse me, unfortunately, it was written differently than while we're doing it.
I know. That's what I'm trying to clarify what we're doing. That was my question originally.
Yeah. All right. You can do a motion on each one of them. Yes.
A motion. Well, the way it says here is that we each director shall select one member.
Oh, how is it? I mean, I'm not putting this out as a motion. We're having a discussion about it.
Can I speak to that, too? The old procedure that we used to follow was each director would appoint one. But then when we switched to the split terms, we didn't have that anymore because there's not five people up at any one time.
So. That's what I understood, but I was just pointing out that it was presented differently.
Right, but this wasn't a motion. This is a discussion. I'm just telling you who I'd like to see.
I was making a motion to accept. I thought we should just talk about each committee separately rather than...
Okay, so we'll talk about the Utilities Activity Committee.
I think that your recommendations are fine, so I'd like to move that we accept them. But we have to take public comment, too. That's why...
Oh, yeah. Well, before we go through the motion and take public comment... No, I lost my train of thought.
Are we following the right procedures?
Are we following the right procedures? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I suggested we do the two committees separately so you can have public comment on them separately rather than combining the public comments. That's really your call.
No. What I want to do is, is have this little discussion so the public can comment on where we're going.
Well, I'm fine with your suggestions.
Okay. So that's just put out there for the Utility Advisory Committee, the kind of thoughts that are going on. Don't hear anything different from the board. And so now the public will be able to comment on what's out there. They have a little bit more information. We already talked about the finance. Well, we haven't talked about it, but I'm putting it out there that we keep it open and go forward. And now the public knows what we're saying so they can comment on that. And then with the Emergency Advisory Committee, two committee members and one alternate, I was just asking, is there any input from... I don't have any input on that I'd like to put before the public. Is there any from the Emergency Services Advisory Committee that they'd like to say before it goes to public comment?
Well, we have, you know, three applicants and three openings, one alternate, and I think the number we have, we'll just accept it.
Okay. All right. With that, I'd like to go to public comment on the appointment of committees.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I would appreciate being able to sit on the Emergency Services Committee again. It would be my ninth year, so longer than any of you doing any of what you're doing. I heard President Baltimore suggest that you hold the Finance Committee application open, or I'm not quite sure what you suggested, but I would ask that you accept the applicant and also hold those other seats open for more people at another time or as they come in, because you do need a quorum and you need to give work to do. And I happen to know Mr. Edwards, and he has a bachelor's degree in finance, and I think he could help you as you enter into your budget cycles, and he's applied before, and he's willing to serve the community. So I wasn't sure where you were going with that, but I do endorse his seating. And then I did hear President Baltimore suggest people for the Utilities Advisory Committee, and I would only say that, you know, while I'm pleased with the amount of people willing to serve, I would say that Lindy Owen also would be in the 8 or 9 year range if you chose to keep her on. She'd continue to serve the community well.
Thank you.
I've attended the utilities committees on and off for 12, 13 years, and I would like to say that the present committee is very competent. And we have Ron Munns, who works for the City of San Luis Obispo Water Department, and we have a pretty good group there, and I think it's really important that we encourage them to stay. We're fortunate that they're willing to give that much of their time, and I think that hopefully at some point we can, I don't know, get some more professionals to come online. I don't know who the people are that have volunteered, but a water background would certainly be helpful. Number one, I think everybody who serves on the Utilities Committee should read the State Water Manual. I took the course at Orange Coast College, and that State Water Manual says what you need to do, what the rules are regarding managing a water delivery system. So it's a highly technical job, and it's very important that we have a good group, and I think we do now, so I'm all for that.
Thank you.
Richard Margaretson, it would have been helpful if we had the list of the members that are serving two-year terms on this appointment list so we could see, because this is really confusing when you look at the first go-around. Emergency services, you have three openings. That looks like that's going to be a slam dunk, and utilities is a slam dunk if you pick out of the four. But finance, there's three openings, two committee members and one alternate, which means there must be three members of finance that are two-year terms, correct? Is that correct or not?
Yes.
Well, that's what this implies. If the Finance Committee is the same membership as every other committee, it's five members, you have three openings. Mr. Edwards would make number four, you'd have four members, and I guess the underlying question is, if this is going to be put off and you're not going to go with an appointment here, does that mean we have no Finance Committee? That's a huge mistake, gentlemen. Huge mistake in this district. Anyway, since I'm not getting any answers, I'll wait for the answers, and be nice to have a second shot.
All right. Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll turn to the board. All right. Can we... okay.
She has to look it up.
We'll just take a brief pause. Why we take a brief pause? Is there any discussion?
Well, I believe this is the first time that since we went to the new on-off schedule that we've had the appointment. So,
all right. So,
process is new.
Yeah, exactly. Process is new. So, there's a bump or two, but that's okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, concerning the number of people on the Finance Advisory Committee, do we have a clarification on that from staff? We do? Or are you going to give it, Director Ohilski?
There's three vacancies and plus the alternate. We have two returning members.
So we have two returning members. Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Which? No.
Which?
No. And then, with that, I guess we will look at the procedure of the nominations, which is.
You know, I would defer to the committee chair, quite frankly. So, on the utility advisory, I'm not deferring to you as the president, but as the chair of utility advisory. So, I think, from my perspective, whatever you think is best is what I would support.
Well, I just want to get a clarification on procedure here. So, do we have to go as it's outlined here, each director select one member until the committee is filled? Or can we...
It's you. What you're doing now is you are selecting a slate.
Right.
Okay. You made a nomination, I believe, of all of the members. That can be put to a vote, and if you get a majority vote, that's...
Right. So again, this is a new... This alternate positions before we used to clear house every year and then put the committee back together. So I would encourage a slate, but
well, I would too, because the issue you have is that you do not have, you know, there technically supposed to be five of us. There's four right now, but only utilities advisory do we have more numbers than that, and so it wouldn't work.
So
a slate under the new, you know, rotating cycle is the way it should be, I think.
Well, the way we did it last year, I mean, Leonard appointed and then we confirmed them. So, I mean, in the past, like I said, when we had five appointments, the way we did it in the past before we went to the two-year terms, we had every board member appointed one, and then the president got to appoint the alternate. Right. That's how we did it. But that's when we were appointing five plus alternate every year. But I thought when we went to the split terms where we'd have some continuity that it was the process we laid out was the president recommended it and the board confirmed.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because you're not going to have the whole five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody would be left out.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
All right.
So, Director Muthart is actually the chair of the Utilities Advisory Committee. I was just spilling over from last month when he was unable to attend. So, just to get this procedure, will the president have to make each slate, or can I go to the chair of each committee?
You can do either choice.
Okay, I'd like to go to the chair of each committee.
Okay, for the Utilities Advisory Committee, I agree with your original proposal. Each one of these people, all the incumbents are very good, and all of their contributions are very much appreciated. Mr. Harry has a very intriguing resume, having so much experience in water. I think I would like to try to also include him. So I would go with Mr. Harry, Mr. Evans, Mr. Floyd, and Mr. Munns.
Yeah, but with that said, I mean, I truly appreciate Lindy Owen reapplying, and also appreciate her enthusiasm that she brings.
I agree with that. I know Lindy still, we're going to get the benefit of her input as well,
right,
because I talked to her frequently and often looked for her opinions. So
yeah.
I think we're going to get a bonus there.
Right. Okay, so we can just take them one at a time? The slates?
You mean for the committee?
You're right.
You're
so,
right.
Yeah, so I want to vote on the committees one at a time.
Okay.
So do we need a motion?
Yes.
One second. I did not specify which one would be alternate.
No, you didn't.
So at this, I will suggest
no.
that, or I will. Mr. Harry be designated as the alternate.
So
I will repeat.
Yes.
What it is. Okay. So the three committee members are Noah Evans, Aaron Floyd, Ron Munns, and Lee Harvey will be designated as the alternate.
That's a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
No.
Okay, can I have a vote?
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Yeah. Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the next committee that we have adequate members is the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. And so
go
to Director Ohilski.
So we have two of our current members are reapplying, Vita Miller and Julie Tacker, and then we have a new applicant, Mr. Harris, David Harris. And I'll say what you said in the beginning comments. Let's bring Mr. Harris on and see what he has to contribute. So I would recommend that we go ahead and reappoint Miller and Tacker to the seats and then bring in Mr. Harris as the alternate.
I'll second that.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, can I have a vote?
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
Director Muthart?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes. And again, we're not going to go to the Financial Advisory Committee because there are not enough members at this time, and we'll continue to leave it open. I think that is it. So, future agenda items.
One second here.
No, other than the item about bringing back on the consent agenda the mission and vision statement for the fire, that was the one item that I wanted to bring forward. So I think everything else is fine.
Okay, I'm just looking at my notes.
We're already going to be bringing the mid-year adjustment back, so I think that's taken care of.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see, bring back more information about the utilities billing system, make sure things are where they should be, get reported out.
That'll be in her report.
Yeah, I think the two things that were brought up during the meeting will be addressed. I was just assuming that would be brought up in the administrative reports. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of... So it's not an agenda item, but the board would like to just have, I don't know, a more detailed report on the billings. Is it 100% running? That this type of thing. So I can see that. Also, the Second Street water break, a little bit more information on that. The presentation by Rob Miller on Channel 20, can we confirm to have that put on there? I would like to see a status on the outdoor conservation plan. What?
That goes to your Utilities Advisory Committee.
Is that?
That's where it's scheduled to go in March.
I'm
sorry, in March it's scheduled to go to your Utilities Advisory Committee.
Okay, so it's scheduled to go there in March. Okay. That makes that easy.
Oh, the outdoor water conservation.
Right, outdoor water conservation. And let me see if there's anything else.
We have a couple items for closed session. That we have some performance reviews that we have to start on.
Performance reviews for closed session?
Yeah.
Okay.
For council and our general manager, I believe.
All right. With that, going to go to the next item, which is board comments. Director Ohilski? Yeah, well, it's either one of you two.
You knew I wasn't ready, so
okay.
Just a couple things. We are still in the application process for the vacant seat on the board of directors, so I would encourage anybody that's interested in that to either contact our staff or contact one of the existing directors. The application period, I believe, runs through the 19th. Through the 19th, so we have another couple of weeks on that. So I would encourage anybody, again, if you're interested in working and serving the community, applications are available at our office. And if you want some information, talk to one of the board or director members or talk to our staff. So I would encourage people to get involved. And apply, I guess, for the Financial Advisory Committee.
Yes, please. Yes.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
I thank everybody online for watching. And I guess I would also like to just express my appreciation to Roseanne Seitz and John again for coming. And I appreciate all the kind words that everybody said for John. Thank you.
Yes. Director Muhart?
I was just going to reiterate that appreciate everybody coming to honor John tonight. Fantastic person, and the short time that I got to work with him and know him, I felt like I've known him for many, many years. Very fond of him, and will always remember. Just got what it. Make a long story short.
It never was.
But it always was interesting. So.
Well, I just want to add, when I first came on the board and met with John, we met down at his office, which was like a flashback to the 1880s. But he brings, still is, and he brings out these two huge binders, and he says, "We're going to go through this." And I go, "Both of them?" He goes, just looked at me, goes, "Yes." That was my education. And I'd also like to encourage people for the fundraiser for Anna Ford on March 8th, 1-6 here at the South Bay Community Center. I've known Dave for almost as long as I've been in Los Osos. He's a fantastic guy. It's a bad turn of events for him. He was a fantastic coach. He coached my son in football and just really, really good guy. So I encourage everybody to come out Saturday, March 8th, 1-6 here at the South Bay Community Center.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I would, just echo the feelings for John Seitz. And again, did not know him as in detail or as long, but definitely he makes an impact. Mentor, integrity, just a great person of our extended community. And I'd also like to acknowledge and thank again the Community Center, the community of Los Osos, the people of Los Osos, and Station 15 on the great success of Operation Santa Claus. I mean, Los Osos has a big heart. And with that, God bless and good night.
Anybody know what